Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
We are up to segment number two of our continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
Anna, do you need the state to approach?
No, we have courtesy copies up through F, but we don't have G and H.
Okay, we'll make sure you have them, Judge. Okay.
You can proceed.
Thank you, Judge. I just want to make sure you had them. Sergeant Stubbs, what are these?
These are pictures, if you will, hard copy pictures of digital pictures taken off of a PNY USB flash drive.
Okay. And these are specific pictures of what?
Hawaii, the wedding of Lori and Chad.
Do you know the date of that ceremony?
Yes.
What was the date of that ceremony?
November 5th, 2019.
Okay. And states Exhibit 61A through 61H, are each of those images true and accurate copies of the images of that wedding you found on a hard drive?
Yes, I made these copies.
Yes. Move for the admission of states Exhibit 61A to 61H and request permission to publish.
Any objection?
May I have one there?
You may.
All right. So it looks like 61A and H, A through H, are photographs of Lori and Chad. Is that correct?
A through H? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And how is it that you came in contact with these photographs?
So these photographs were found on a flash drive that was seized at the time Lori and Chad were talked to in Hawaii from their vehicle.
So it was seized from their vehicle?
Correct.
Okay. And you were there when they were seized?
I was not.
Okay. How did you come into contact with these?
The digital evidence was packaged, chain of custody, and then returned to us in Rexburg. At that time, a warrant was written for the devices.
Okay. And where is this chain of custody? Is it part of the, it's not part of these exhibits, right?
No.
Okay. So you're all object that Well, you know what? I'm not going to object.
Okay. Then Exhibit 61, A through H?
Yes, Judge.
Are admitted, and they may be published if you'd like.
Okay, let's make a record. What do we see in 61A?
This would be Chad and Lori, November 5th, 2019, on the beach in Hawaii at their wedding ceremony. Okay. If I may just add, so I don't have to do it on each one. Each of these photos was taken with a Canon EOS Mark III camera.
And how do you know that?
Because this is a digital, this is a digital picture. All of our phones, all digital cameras and everything nowadays have what's called XF data that is associated.
XF, EXIF.
Data, and what it is, it leaves a digital footprint on each of these photos. If you look at the details of the photo when you're looking at it with, say, a computer or forensic software, you'll be able to see date, time, what kind of camera took it, so forth and so on. A lot of times it'll even give you GPS coordinates and so forth and so on.
So on the images, and that you saw the camera data associated with each of these on the device that you had a search warrant for.
That's correct.
Okay. What is 61B?
This would appear to be Chad and Lori in Hawaii again. What I believe is standing in front of the Mormon LDS Temple.
?61C.
Again, another picture at their wedding ceremony on the beach in Hawaii.
?61D.
This would be a picture of Chad and Lori's hands. They're both displaying wedding rings. It appears wedding rings made of or containing malachite stone.
Why do you say that?
Because of my earlier testimony where she in August was looking up wedding rings made of malachite.
And malachite's a green stone?
Correct.
61E.
Again, another wedding photo on the beach of the two of them in Hawaii.
And in this picture, can you see their hands together and see one of their wedding rings?
Yes. Also, you could see that same ring in C as well.
Okay. This is just a different view.
Different view, yes.
?61F.
Picture of their wedding ceremony along with the preacher who conducted the ceremony.
?61G.
It appears sometime during the ceremony, their Lori and Chad's celebration of their marriage.
And 61H.
Again, another photo sometime during their wedding ceremony of the two of them kissing on the beach.
One moment, Your Honor. I think I'm done. Let me check with counsel, if I may.
Very well.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no further questions.
Very well. Who will conduct cross-examination? Is that you, Mr. Thomas?
Hello, Judge.
Very well.
Is the court wanting to take a break anytime soon, or are we just going to roll through till noon?
I think we ought to keep going, given that first break we had. That's all right.
Morning, Detective.
Morning.
You indicated earlier today that you had multiple trainings in forensic software. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you go through that a little bit for me? I'm sorry. Go ahead if you want, but I'm going to try to narrow down the question a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So when did you start your training in forensics, with as a detective or as a patrolman, or how did that work?
A detective.
Okay. And when was that?
Around 2010, when I started specifically going into computers.
Okay. And that's when you started doing work as a detective in the, I mean, Rexburg isn't a huge city, so how much of this particular type of work is your detective work as far as what you do in Rexburg?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, you're asking what percentage is devoted to this kind of work? Is that what you're saying?
Probably a bad question. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
So I would say probably about 50% of my work is dedicated to this, if not slightly more.
Oh, okay. And so I'm sure probably about 50% of your training is to get dedicated to this type of work?
At least.
Okay. And so let's just talk about in the last, say, year, what kind of training have you done as far as forensics goes?
Taken a couple smaller online courses, some brief updates on software additions.
Which ones?
Would be Cellebrite.
Is that the only one?
That's the only one within the last year that I've done updates with.
Have you had prior training on Cellebrite?
Yes.
Okay. When was that?
I don't remember exact date when I started using Cellebrite, but I have used it and done updates and certifications for several years.
What types of certifications do you have in the forensic, cellular, forensic, electronic type of realm here?
I've had, Cellebrite, certified Cellebrite operator, CCO, Cellebrite certified physical analysts. I've had trainings and certifications in access data, magnet forensics.
What's magnet forensics?
It's a computer, cell phone,
software, if you will.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of what you do is you take devices and you pull off information from a particular person's life from that device. Is that right?
Restate that, please.
When you take a device that you've gotten from a search warrant or whatever, you're looking for life information about that person's life, right?
Well, all information that the device would store.
Okay. But when you're looking at specific, I'll move on. And so these electronic devices that you looked at in this specific case, there were a number of them, right? About 100, almost 100?
I don't recall the exact number, but as I said earlier, a lot of these devices, the data was obtained through warrants and so forth, was split up amongst different people to analyze, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And this is a massive amount of data, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you weren't able to analyze all of the data yourself?
That's correct.
Okay. You specifically indicated that on the return of search warrant 2020-76 and 2020-77. Those are geofences of Chad Daybell's home and Lori Vallow's home, is that right?
Correct, yes.
And in all of that data, the only person that you found that had been to both Chad Daybell's home and Lori Vallow's home on September 22nd or 23rd, or September 8th or September 9th, was Alex Cox.
Yeah, the only one that we could see that shared all those locations, those dates, times.
Okay. So you couldn't tie Lori Vallow to those locations at those times?
Correct.
Okay. You mentioned some burner phones. And you said that those were phones that drug dealers use. You didn't think that Chad or Lori were using drugs, did you?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. They weren't drug dealers, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So burner phones aren't just for drug dealers, they're for just regular people that either can't afford a phone plan or there's several reasons for people buying burner phones, right?
There could be, yes.
All right. Exhibit 157, we talked a little bit about that being a USB thumb drive that had the Google searches on it. Is that right? Search history?
The search history for who are we talking about?
Well, you tell me. You're the one that said adamantly that you knew what 157 was.
Okay.
Tell me about 157.
Do you want to show me 157 again, please? Sorry. Okay.
Does that refresh your recollection?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about 157. What's on there?
That's the search. That would be the Google data from Chad Daybell.
And this includes the search history?
Yes.
And you indicated that there was some significance to a search history about what was the wind direction going to be the next day or whatever?
Correct.
Okay. And you work in Rexburg. You indicated that you've worked there for quite a number of years?
Yes.
During the seasons, the wind usually moves in one direction, right?
North or south, usually, yeah.
Okay. All right. So why was it this specific day, this specific search, so unusual to you?
Because the user of the account was looking for the wind direction for the 9th. At no other time did I see the user of this account inquire about the wind direction at any other time.
But anything that you gather from that would be speculative, right? I mean, you're just speculating as to why he might be looking for this.
Sure.
Okay. Do you know what size ring Lori Vallow is?
I don't.
Okay. You made some issue about the search history on August the 25th about the user was looking for wedding rings or malachite wedding rings. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And there were specific sizes that they were looking at. Is that right, or am I wrong?
Look for a size 4.25. And 11.5.
Okay. And you don't happen to know what size ring Chad Daybell wears?
I do not.
And you don't happen to know what size ring Alex Cox wears?
I do not.
And you don't happen to know what size ring Zulema Pastinez wears?
No.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Does the state have any redirect examination?
Very briefly, Your Honor.
Very well.
Defense counsel asked you about your training and your experience in Rexburg. Are you also part of regional efforts on addressing crimes associated with the Internet?
Yes. I am part of the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for the state of Idaho. Okay. I work closely with the Attorney General's office here in those matters, and also I work closely with the Department of Homeland Security in these type of investigations.
So in your work as part of these task force, you do some of the record collection analysis and review for multiple agencies?
Yes, I do analysis for a lot of our surrounding counties and others that would pertain to the task force.
Okay. And defense counsel asked you about burner phones. Are they commonly used in situations where people are trying to hide their involvement in criminal behavior?
Yes.
Are they commonly used in situations where people are trying to hide their connection or relationship to people from other people in their lives?
In my experience, yes.
And in the search history accounts where you saw a search history for malachite and malachite wedding rings. Do you remember that search history defense counsel asked you about?
Yes.
Okay. That was associated with the Lori for Style at Gmail account, correct?
Loli Time Forever.
Loli Time Forever at Gmail.
Correct.
And the owner at Google of that account was who?
Lori Vallow.
Now, in the area surrounding Chad Daybell's property, if you know, what is are there neighbors north of Chad Daybell's property?
The neighbors that would be to the north of the property would be, in an estimate, would be at least a quarter mile away.
Okay. And so would people to the north be the recipient if the wind is blowing from the south or southwest?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith.
Yes, may I recross just one question?
Go ahead.
Sure. So you indicated that you had reviewed some data from lollytimeforever@gmail.com and a whole bunch of others. In any of that review of any of that data, did you ever see anything from Lori saying, let's kill the kids?
No.
Did you ever see anything that said, will you kill my kids?
No.
Anything that said, let's kill the kids?
No.
Anything remotely akin to any of that?
Object has been asked and answered.
Overruled.
Anything akin to any of that?
For this account, no.
Any of the accounts?
I wouldn't know on some of the other accounts because I didn't review those.
Okay, but you were part of the team that reviewed them, right?
Right.
Judge, I'm going to object, ask and answer, and other officers are going to be testifying as to the findings on those other accounts.
I'll overrule the objection.
So based on anything that you've seen, is there anything in there where Lori had texted or emailed or any type of data that says anything about wanting to kill her children?
No.
Thank you. Nothing further.
All right. That'll conclude the examination, then, of Detective Stubbs.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let me just briefly inquire of the jurors with our morning break. I'm inclined to maybe go a while longer and maybe see if we can take lunch a little earlier than normal. Is that possible? Okay. Are you all okay to keep going for another hour? Okay, very well. We'll keep going on then. If the state's got another witness to call after Detective Stubbs, you can go ahead and step down. Is Detective Stubbs going to be recalled in the case? Will the detective be recalled in the case, or can he be excused?
He may be. I don't think so, but to be safe, we ought to not excuse him.
Okay. Detective Stubbs, then, I don't know if you're here under subpoena. If you are, then you continue to need to comply with the subpoena until you're directed that you're excused in the case. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right. If the state wants to call its next witness.
The state will call Nicole Heidemann.
Okay.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
All right, Ms. Heidemann, now that you've been sworn, let me just inquire, have you reviewed any of the trial testimony in this case since it started?
I have not.
Okay, you haven't watched any of the coverage of the case or reviewed online or on news or anything, any of the prior testimony?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you for that response. As we get started then, please make verbal responses to all questions and try to avoid talking at the same time as any lawyer asking you a question so we can keep our record clear. With that in mind then, Ms. Blake, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Will you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Nicole Heidemann, H-E-I-D-E-M-A-N.
Where are you currently employed?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation.
How long have you been employed with them?
Almost 15 years.
What is your current title or position?
I am a tactical specialist.
Have you held other positions within the FBI?
I have.
And what are those?
I was an evidence technician prior to my current position.
Let's
Checking.
At some point, did you become involved in an investigation regarding some missing children?
I did.
And who are those missing children?
J.J. Vallow and Kylie Ryan.
As part of your job duties, were you given specific assignments with regard to that investigation?
I was.
At some point, did that investigation broaden to include some other investigation to other conduct?
Yes.
And what other conduct?
There was the investigation into the murder of Charles Vallow, as well as Tammy Dayball, and an attempted shooting or a shooting of Brandon Boudreaux.
As part of your job duties, were you asked to review some Google searches on chad.daybell@gmail.com?
I was.
Were you also asked to look into some Google searches conducted on lollytimeforever@gmail.com?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that defense, the witness, and the court all be handed a copy of State's Exhibit 184A. I will note we have not brought in 184 yet. That will come in later. With regard to this, this is a printout of another exhibit that's a PowerPoint, but it's a printout for the benefit of counsel, the court, and the witness.
Okay.
Thank you. And if you'll look those pages over. And do you recognize those?
I do.
And were those in fact created by you?
Yes.
And are they printouts from a PowerPoint that you created?
Yes.
Did you create that based on your investigation or what you reviewed in this case?
It was.
Would that aid in your testimony today?
Yes.
And is that a summary of what you reviewed?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would ask for the admission of State's Exhibit 184A.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. May I voir dire an aid of an objection?
Yes.
So these summaries of activities, this isn't a full summary, correct?
No. Well, it's not all the searches, no.
I mean, there's only eight searches on the Chad Daybell one and nine searches on the Lori Daybone one?
Yeah, it's not all the activity, just a summary of relevant search findings.
When you say a summary of relevant for search findings, that's just a summary of the things that go towards your theory of the case, right?
Towards what? Law enforcement theory of the case.
Okay. Well, there's a whole bunch of other searches that were done between January of 2019 and October of 2019, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We won't object for the purposes of what she's testifying to today, Judge.
Okay. So, Exhibit 184A is admitted.
And, Your Honor, I would ask to be able to publish Exhibit 184A to the jury.
You may publish it.
Thank you, Your Honor. And it is going to be from the laptop.
Okay.
As I indicated, this is actually a PowerPoint. I have a jump drive that has been marked with State's Exhibit 184A for admission to the court after being published.
Okay. And it... Well, to be clear, then, 184A, there's a paper version of it. You've also got the jump drive.
Correct.
They're both going to be labeled 184A.
Yes, that's what we've been doing before. I think what the court's indicated before is the jump drive will be the actual exhibit because it contains the PowerPoint. But for courtesy of the court and counsel, we did the printouts.
Understood. So 184A is admitted, and you can publish the PowerPoint if you want.
Okay. And Ms. Heidemann, looking at this first slide, it indicates October 1st, 2018 through the end of production. Were there additional searches contained prior to October 1st, 2018?
Yes.
Why did you focus in on October 1st of 2018 forward?
Our investigation revealed that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met in October of 2018. specifically October 26, 2018. So we chose just to go a little bit prior to that for investigative purposes.
And I would ask again the witness, sorry, if you can just really talk right into the microphone. Okay. They're not all that sensitive, and that'll make sure it's on the record.
So looking at the first search indicated there, will you read the date and the search into the record?
January 28th, 2019. Ned Snyder, 1996, Duff, Louisiana. Ned Snyder, Louisiana. Ned Snyder, Louisiana, born 1951, died 1996. And bodies possessed after original occupant dies.
And you were asked by defense counsel, there were additional searches on here, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Why did this particular search stick out?
In the Chandler investigation, Chandler PD investigation, Charles Vallow had made reference that he was being referred to as Ned Snyder or Schneider.
Do you know where Charles was originally from?
Louisiana, I believe.
And then the next search on there, if you could read the date and that search into the record.
January 31st, 2019. Ned Schneider, Louisiana obituary, 1997.
And did that one stick out for the same reasons?
It did.
And then the next one, if you could read the date and the search into the record.
March 6th, 2019. June 26th, star sign, are Cancer and Leo compatible? And May 4th, star sign, Taurus and Leo compatible.
What was it?
Jack, that is not what's said on there. She's reading into what the exhibit actually says.
And, Your Honor, I think I'm aware of what counsel is indicating, if I may just ask a clarifying question.
Go ahead.
I think what counsel's referencing is on the May 4 sign.
May 4 sign? I'm sorry.
Could you just read that part, starting with the May?
Yeah, my apologies. May 4 sign. Taurus and Leo compatible.
Counsel, does that take care of the objection?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Why did that specific search stick out?
June 26th is Lori Vallow's birthday. May 4th is Tammy Daybell's birthday. And Chad Daybell's birthday is August 11th, making him a Leo.
And then if you can read the date of the next search and the search into the record.
May 5th, 2019. Malachite, eBay Malachite Jewelry.
And what was it about that search that stuck out?
Malachite is a green stone that Chad and Lori ultimately purchased for their wedding bands.
And the next one, if you could read the date and the search.
June 1st, 2019, Hiplos.
And what was it about that one that caught your attention?
Hiplos was another name that we found in the investigation to refer to Charles Vallow.
And the next one, if you could read the date and the search.
July 9th, 2019, when you surprise someone with accusations.
What was it about that particular search that caught your attention?
That search was 2 days prior to Charles Vallow's murder.
And the next one, if you could read the date and the search.
September 8th, 2019, SSW Wind. What is the definition of SSW direction?
What about that stood out?
That date is the day prior to, or the day of, that we believe Tylee Ryan was murdered, and we believe she was buried on the property, or burned and buried on the property on September 9th, 2019, so it would have been the day prior.
And whose property?
Chad Daybell's.
Do you recall when you were looking at the search terms, did you notice if Chad Daybell generally or commonly searched wind direction?
No, not, I don't believe he, other than this occurrence, I don't believe he did.
And if you could read the date of the next one and the search term.
October 8th, 2019, Rhode Island area code.
What was it about that that stood out?
Chad Daybell, there's multiple phones involved in this investigation. One of them has a 401 area code, which is the area code for Rhode Island. It also is the same date that 401 phone number was activated.
And then looking at the next slide here, this is linked to the lollytimeforever@gmail.com account. this has specific dates listed on there, the March 7th, 2019 to December 14th, 2019. Is that indicative of the dates that these searches occurred?
Why did we choose those dates?
Yes.
I believe that was the date of the search warrants. Okay. Or I would have to double check that one.
But those were the parameters of the dates that you were looking and retrieving this information, is that correct?
Correct.
Looking at the first one, if you could read the date into the record and the search term.
May 7th, 2019, Malachite.
What caught your attention about that search?
Similarly to Chad's search, it was the same green stone that was ultimately purchased for their wedding bands.
And the next one, if you could read the date and then the search term.
July 21st, 2019. Gerber Life Policy, Life Insurance for Children, the Grow Up Plan.
What caught your attention about that search?
At the time of this, that we reviewed this and subsequently finding out that the children had died, we thought it was of interest that Lori was searching for life insurance for children.
And to be clear, were any life insurance policies ever discovered for the children?
Not that I'm aware of.
Could you read the date of the next one as well as the content into the record?
July 26, 2019, Phoenix Pet Services, Craigslist, Sell Service Dog, Little Angel Service Dogs, Service Dogs for Sale, and OfferUp Phoenix.
What about that caught your attention?
JJ Vallo had a service dog, and after Charles's death, they sold the dog, so it's looking for how to sell or rehome a service dog.
And JJ was still alive on July 26th of 2019, is that correct?
That's correct.
What about the next one? Could you read the date and the search term into the record?
August 25th, 2019, wedding bands made of malachite.
And I think you may have answered this already, but what about that caught your attention?
Again, malachite is a recurring theme. On the initial May 7th malachite search, Charles Vallo is still alive, and he's deceased at this point, but Tammy Daybell is still alive.
And then if you could read the date of the next one and the content into the record.
September 20th, 2019, Kennedy Elementary, Rexburg, Idaho, phone number, and defined possessed.
So it looks like there's two...
I'm going to object again. She misstated... What she said, Devon possessed, and it was just possessed.
It's sustained. It was misread. There you go. You'll just correct it.
Just looking at the second search there, could you read that into the record?
Define possess.
And look, it appears that there's two separate terms there, two separate searches. What about the one regarding Kennedy Elementary caught your attention?
That was the school J.J. Vallo attended in Rexburg, Idaho.
And what about the second search there caught your attention?
For similar reasons, but this search occurred just a day or two after we believed J.J. died.
And that's referring to the September 24th search?
Correct.
Looking at the September 20th, there's also the defined possess. Was there something about that that caught your attention?
Throughout the investigation, the concept of possession, demons, those sort of ideas came up pretty frequently. So in context within the same time frame as the Kennedy Elementary School, we thought that was of interest.
And the two dates there on the Kennedy Elementary School are September 20th and September 24th, correct?
Correct.
Do you know when the last time JJ was seen was?
The last proof of life was the morning of September 22nd, 2019.
So right in between those two dates.
Correct.
And if you would look at the next one on there, the one on September 30th, if you could read the date into the record and the search.
September 30th, 2019. How to get the back seat out of my Jeep Wrangler. Jeep Wrangler JK rear seat removal. How to DIY YouTube.
What stood out about that search?
The date of the search, September 30th, was just a few days before Brandon Boudreau was shot in Arizona from a Jeep Wrangler.
And when you say shot, do you mean shot at?
Shot at, I'm sorry, yes.
And then the next one on there, the October 2nd.
October 2nd, 2019, Gilbert, AZ News.
And what stood out about that?
That is the same day that Brandon Boudreau was shot at.
And the shooting would have occurred. Do you know where the attempted shooting of Brandon occurred?
In Arizona.
And the last one on there?
On October 22nd, 2019, wedding dresses in Kauai.
And what stood out about that?
That date and the search for wedding dresses was approximately 3 days after Tammy Daybell's death and the same day as her funeral.
As part of your duties with this investigation, were you asked to look at various phone data?
Yes.
And were you asked to review the contents of phones recovered pursuant to search warrants?
Yes.
Were there multiple search warrants and devices that you reviewed the data from?
Yes.
Did you also review some interviews?
I did.
Did you discuss the investigation with other, either special agents, detectives, or other law enforcement officers?
I did.
As part of that, were you asked to determine which to do phone number attribution?
Yes.
And when we talk about a phone attribution or a phone number attribution, could you explain a little bit what that means?
Yes. Phone attribution is the process of attempting to identify the likely primary user of a phone or a phone number, typically through reviewing documents, search warrant returns, phone extractions, and you're finding a phone number in close proximity or context with another identifier, such as a name or an account or address, something along those lines.
And ultimately, that allows you to identify who you would determine to be the primary user linked to that phone number.
That's correct.
As in preparation for your testimony today, did you prepare an exhibit?
I did.
A PowerPoint exhibit specifically?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that defense counsel, the witness, and the court be handed what's been marked as State's Exhibit 186. I would indicate, again, there is a matching jump drive for this, which these are the printout slides from that from that jump drive.
Okay.
And Ms. Heideman, if you could look through those pages.
Okay.
Does that appear to be an accurate depiction of the PowerPoint you created?
It does.
And was that prepared by you today in aid of your testimony?
Yes.
And do you believe that it would aid you in your testimony today?
I do.
Your Honor, I'd ask for the admission of State's Exhibit 186.
Any objection?
Your Honor, I've previously reviewed 186 over the weekend. I have no objection to this.
All right. Exhibit 186 is admitted.
And, Your Honor, I would ask permission to publish.
You may publish the PowerPoint.
And again, just for the record, does this appear to be the first slide in the PowerPoint you created?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties. Your Honor, I apologize. For some reason, it will not go into the slideshow format on mine. We're going to hook into a different laptop and see if that'll correct it.
All right. We're fine.
Oh, no, not that one. And, Your Honor, in the meantime, if I can have the court handed State's Exhibit 184A, it's the jump drive that was previously admitted. All right. Thank you for your patience. I think we have it running on this one now. So looking at this, this is the second page or the second slide. There's three individuals listed here. Why are these three individuals listed?
We identified these three individuals as the primary subjects in this investigation.
And are there specific dates that you were focused on?
Again, back to the October 2018 timeframe through January 2020.
And the first individual on there listed is Chad Daybell. How many phone numbers did you ultimately attribute to him?
Approximately nine during this time frame.
And of those nine, did you narrow that down?
I did. Three.
Okay. And with Lori Vallow, how many phone numbers were attributed to her?
Approximately six.
Did you also narrow that number down?
I did.
And how many was that narrowed to?
Three.
And same thing with Alex Cox. How many phone numbers were attributed to him?
Approximately six.
And did you ultimately narrow that down?
Yes.
And when we talk about narrowing it down, how did you determine for each of them that there were three phones that you focused in on or three numbers?
For the purpose of this investigation, there is a lot of information contained in text message content through the iClouds and also geolocation data. They primarily focused on three numbers, actually for each of them during this relevant time frame. So to minimize some of the noise of all of the phone numbers that we identified, the ones being presented today are the ones that are going to be the most frequent, what you're going to hear from other people testifying if they haven't already, coming forward.
And if we focus in on the phones or the phone numbers, excuse me, associated with Chad Daybell first, looking at that first one on here, can you read that number into the record?
208-690-9374.
And on there are nine things listed. Are those the nine items that assisted you in attributing this number to Chad?
Yes.
Were there other things that also would have assisted with the attribution?
Yes.
On these that you focused in on, can we go through those?
Yes. Can we just read them?
Yes. Okay. If you'll just kind of provide either reading them or providing why you focused in on those.
Okay. Again, just as an overall, I reviewed case files from all the agencies involved and in reading reports and interviews and cell phone extractions and legal process, I was looking for phone numbers to that were relevant and then finding places in which they appeared next to a name or account. So the documents that attributed this phone number to Chad was the subscriber information. It was subscribed to Tammy Daybell since March 17th, 2018. This number was listed on a Hawaii rental agreement effective December 15th, 2019, in Chad's name. It was saved as contact Chad in Tammy Daybell's cell phone, or phone. It's the SMS number associated with Chad Daybell at Gmail. It was listed on a Citibank application in Chad's name. it was listed on the LifeMap insurance benefit claim form filled out by Chad Daybell for Tammy Daybell's death. It was saved as contact Bishop Shumway in the Lori for Style iCloud. It was listed on Allegiant Flight Records associated with Chad Daybell. And it was saved as contact Dad in Seth Daybell's phone.
And do you know Seth Daybell's relationship with Chad Daybell?
It's his son.
And Tammy Daybell was Chad's wife?
Correct.
And then we see here a Cricut account. What was it about the Cricut account that caught your attention?
One of the numbers that appears pretty frequently in the iCloud accounts with communications to Lori was a number that started with 515, which should be coming up. But we sent legal process and found that there are actually four numbers on this account in addition to the one number, two numbers of interest. So all four of them sort of help create attribution for each other.
And on this, it lists a subscriber, Boyd Dial. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you know if there was any investigation done to determine if a Boyd Dial actually existed?
There was.
And what did that consist of?
I was able to identify two Boyd Dials in the United States, both of which lived in Utah and did not have any historical addresses in Arizona.
Are you aware if any follow-up was done with those two individuals?
Yes. FBI agents interviewed both individuals and cleared them of any association with this case.
And as you went through your investigation and looking at the different data and interviews, did you find anything to attribute any of the phone numbers on that Cricut account to either Boyd Dial?
No.
And looking at this number, could you read that number into the record?
480-395-5126.
And outside of being associated with the Cricut account, was there something about this number that caught your attention?
It was saved in the Lori for Style iCloud along with Chad's known number, the 280 number, as the same contact, Melanie 2. That sort of helps to attribute them to each other.
And that was the 208 number associated with him?
Correct. The 208-690-9374 and 480-395-5126 were saved as a same contact, Melanie 2.
And looking at the next number here, can you read that phone number into the record?
480-812-5496.
What was it about this number that caught your attention?
Two things. One, the activation date for the prior number, the 480-395-5126, was active from October 31st, 2018 through January 31st, 2019. The secondary number that ends in 5496 is activated the day that the previous number was deactivated or expired and ran through July 1st, 2019. Additionally, it was also saved in the Lori for Style iCloud account as contact Jeannie.
And these two numbers are in white. Were these two of the three numbers that you focused in on?
Not so much as far as what you'll hear in the investigation, but they do provide further attribution for the other relevant phone numbers.
And this next number, if you could read the number into the record.
515-402-0143.
And this one, again, has some more things listed than the last one. Could we go through what it was about this phone number that drew your attention?
It was first identified by the Chandler Police Department in Lori's 480-692-9562 call detail records and saved as contact Bubby in the Lolly Time iCloud account. It was active. It picked up the activation from July 1st, 2019, the date that the prior number, the 5496 number, expired and was active until October 8th, 2019. In the call detail records for this number, we found a call to the Valley of the Sun mortuary on July 11th, 2019, in which Chad Daybell calls and has an interaction with the mortuary, which was recorded. There was a text message from Lori with the content reading conf number 99NBQ4, which was an Allegiant Airlines flight in Chad's name. A text from Lori on August 11th, 2019, birthday kisses all over. And finally, it was saved as contact Rebecca Shumway in Lori for Style, the iCloud account.
And looking back at that 208 number, it was also saved, that number was saved as a Bishop Shumway.
Correct.
So that was the second time we'd seen the Shumway name.
Correct.
And then looking at this next one, if you could read that number into the record.
401-569-8260.
And on this one, there's several different items listed as well. Can we go through those?
This number was first identified as the first contact of Alex's 334 phone number. The activation period for this for the 401 number picks up from when the 515 was deactivated or expired and ran through December 30th, 2019. Chad conducted a Google search, as previously mentioned, for Rhode Island area code on October 8th, 2019, the same date that this phone was purchased. There is a text from Chad's known number, 208-690-9374, to Lori on October 9th, 2019, saying, "I will call right now from a 401 number." This number is only in contact with Lori's 480-489-4652 and Alex's 334-744-4205 phone numbers, and it is saved as contact Bishop Miller in Lori for Style iCloud.
And through these different ways, you were able to attribute all of these phone numbers to Chad Daybell?
Yes, either through content or it's being attributed to somebody that, you know, in Lori's iCloud, there's knowledge of that these two people are connected.
And looking back again at that first number, the 208 number, was that active for the duration of these other numbers being active?
I believe it was. I don't, based on the legal process, I don't know that we ever had a deactivation time.
So it would have meant that Chad Daybell had at least two active phones at the same time.
Correct.
And in looking at this next slide, there's two more numbers listed here. What was it about these two numbers that drew your attention?
Well, these don't necessarily, I mean, these numbers are relevant in the sense that they help further attribute Chad to additional numbers, but also Chad and Lori's aliases that are used throughout the investigation.
And what are those aliases?
Raphael and Lily for Chad and Lori, and James and Elena.
And with both of these numbers, looking at the first one there, can you read that number into the record?
602-290-7288.
And what was it with this number that assisted with attributing that to Chad?
Between these two bullet points, the text from this number to the Daybell children, it was a group text on December 4th that began, "Hi, this is Dad." And in conjunction, it saved in Zulema's phone as contact with Raphael. So those two together would help attribute that this is Chad's phone, and he's also known as Raphael to others.
And the next phone number, if you could read that into the... Oh.
Has saved as contact Raphael in Zulema's phone.
And with that next number, if you could read it into the record.
480-341-9585.
And what? How were you able to attribute that phone to Chad?
Based on subscriber records for the James Loves Elena at iCloud.com, this phone number was listed in the subscriber records. There was also a text from this number to the Daybell children on December 14th, 2019 that begins, "Hi, this is Chad." And it was a number being used by Chad and Lori, according to Ian Pawlowski.
And both of these numbers would have been in use later on in the investigation?
Correct, after the homicides, yes.
And would this have been after Chad and Lori had left the Idaho area?
Yes.
And looking at Lori and the cell phone numbers attributed to her, if you could read that first number into the record.
480-489-4652.
And there are several things listed there identifying this phone as being attributed to her. Did you find other things to also attribute this phone to her or this number?
Yes.
Were these the main things that you had focused in on?
Yes.
And if we could just go through those.
It was identified by Chandler Police Department during a review of the Lori for Sale iCloud account. There was no subscribe, based on the provider records, there was actually no subscriber name associated, but the account IDs were similar to Lori's known email accounts, which were Lollytime at iCloud and Lori for Style at Hotmail. Additionally, the credit card information associated with the provider information was in Lori Vallow's name. And this phone number was effective from January 31st, 2019 through December 28th, 2019. This number is also listed along with Lori Vallow's name on Allegiant Flight Records. It's saved as contact Lori and Lily in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phones. It's saved as contact Lori Vallow and Zulema's phone, along with an additional phone number, 480-692-9562. It's listed on Delta Flight Records, along with kkwalker75 at yahoo.com. And it was a contact number on a Hawaii wedding quote request.
And looking in at the Delta Flight Records associated with kkwalker75 at Yahoo, what was it about that that drew your attention?
We had identified two emails sent from this email to Chad Daybell that Charles Vallow had have found in the iCloud accounts and confronted Chad and Lori about being a false representation of wishes he was making to have somebody write a book for him and asking for Chad to travel to, I believe it was Houston, for a children's camp.
And looking at this next phone number, if you could read that number into the record.
480-692-9562.
And again, there are several things listed here. Were there other things that attributed this phone number to Lori?
There were.
Were these the things that you'd focused in on the most?
Yes.
And if we could go through what those are.
480? Oh, I'm sorry. The first one was Taylor Police Department's review of Charles Vallow's cell phone reviewed this as another number for Lori. So Charles had this saved in his phone. It was subscribed to Lori Vallow effective February 4th, 2019 through January 5th, 2020. Based on legal process, we found that this number was associated with the Lollytime at iCloud, Lori for Style at iCloud, and Lollytime Forever at gmail.com accounts. It was listed as the Amazon shipping contact for Charles Vallow at 565 Pioneer Road, apartment 175 in Rexburg, Idaho. It was the contact number provided on PO Box 415 Sugar City, Idaho application, along with Lori Vallow's name. It was saved as contact Lily and Lolo in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone. And similarly to the prior number, it was listed as a contact number on the Hawaii wedding quote request.
And looking at that Amazon shipping, the 565 Pioneer Road, is that an address that was ever associated to with Charles Vallow that you're aware of?
No, it was not.
Was it an address that he ever lived at, if you're aware?
No, it was not.
Is that an address that was associated with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And did she live there?
Yes.
And looking at the next one, could you read that number into the record?
808-755-5452.
And similarly, there's several things listed there. Were there other ways in which this number was attributed to Lori?
Yes.
Were these the main ones that you focused in on?
Yes.
And if you could indicate what those are.
Lori provided this number to Chandler Police Department during their investigation into the death of Charles Vallow. It was subscribed to Premier Financial Services effective January 8th, 2016, and until November 24th, 2019. It was associated with the Lori for Style iCloud account. There was an IM to a Peter Dickinson on August 8th, 2019 that stated, "Hi, Peter, this is Lori Vallow." It was saved as contact Lolo Vallow in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone. It was saved as contact Lily in Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's phone. And similarly to the other two number, it was listed as a contact on the Hawaii wedding quote request.
And on those Hawaii wedding quote requests, do you know, was that filled out in conjunction with Chad and Lori's request to get married?
Yes.
And then looking at the Premier Financial Services, what was it about that that drew your attention?
That was Charles Vallow's business.
I think it misstates the actual evidence.
I'll sustain that objection. As to that, just final part of that last response. As to the final part of the response there, the objection is sustained.
Do you know what, do you know if Charles Vallow was associated with a business while he was alive?
Yes.
And what business was that?
Premier Financial Services.
Then looking at the next slide, if you would read, these are the numbers associated with Alex Cox.
Correct.
And if you could read that first number into the record.
480-351-9120.
And there are six different things listed there. Were there other ways in which this number was attributed to Alex?
Yes.
And were these the main ones that you focused in on?
Yes.
If you could please go through those.
Again, this was the contact number provided by Alex to Chandler Police Department and during the investigation into the Charles Vallow homicide. It was actually subscribed to Alex Cox with an effective date of February 27th. 2015 until an unknown date based on the legal process only went up to a certain date, so I'm not sure when it ended exactly. It was associated with email accounts homerjmaximus@gmail.com and homerjmaximus@yahoo.com. It was saved as contact Alex Cox in the lollytime@icloud.com account and as Alex Cox in the Lori for Style icloud.com account. And it was listed on Allegiant Flight Records, which also included homerjmaximus@yahoo.com.
And looking at this next phone number, if you could read that into the record.
304-960-5998.
And there are not as many things listed on this one. Were there other ways in which you attributed this phone to Alex Cox?
There was not much on this phone. There are other ways, but through location services, but I cannot testify to that.
So based on what you could review, if you could go through what led you to attribute this phone to Alex Cox.
It was identified through the phone's IMEI as being associated with the homerjmaximus@gmail.com subscriber records or access records. There was no subscriber name associated with this number, but there was an account ID of raymaximus@gmail.com, and it was effective from September 27th, 2019 through December 28th, 2019.
And on this next one, if you could read the number into the record.
334-744-4205.
And were there other ways in which, outside of what's listed here, were there other ways in which this number was attributed to Alex Cox?
Yes.
Were these the main ones that you focused in on?
That I focused in on, yes.
And if you could indicate what those are.
This phone number was associated with a Samsung Galaxy phone recovered from Alex's Rexburg apartment. There was no subscriber name, as indicated by the provider. However, there was an account ID of raylamar@gmail.com. It was effective from October 9th, 2019 through January 9th, 2020. And it was saved as contact Spencer's wife in the Lori for Style at icloud.com account.
And again, when you're attributing a phone number to someone, what does that mean?
Phone numbers or phones and phone numbers can be used by multiple people, but we are trying to figure out to identify, especially when there is no subscriber information, who the likely primary user is. Obviously, phones can be passed around. So trying to figure out who the likely primary user is gives a pretty good indication of who's making the calls and text messages primarily.
And Your Honor, I would indicate there are a couple other exhibits that I intend to try to introduce with this witness. I can move forward, or I didn't know if the court would like to break at this point before we get into the next exhibits.
If you think this is a good logical time to break, we could probably take our lunch break at this point.
The next exhibit, I think, will take more than 10 minutes to go through, assuming it's admitted. And so given that, I wondered if now would make sense to break.
Okay. I think we can do that. That makes sense as well. So we will take the lunch recess. We'll try to get started before 1 o'clock, obviously maybe 12:45 to restart with more testimony, if that'll give everyone time to get lunch. All right.
All right, please.
That wraps up segment number 2 of our continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There is much more to come. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss a moment of it.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We use sunscreen para proteger la piel, ¿verdad? So why not be proactive protegiendo tu salud bucal también? Hola, mi gente, soy Amara La Negra y con el sistema de prevención activa Colgate Total, tú puedes ayudar a prevenir problemas bucales como las caries y gingivitis antes de que empiecen. The reformulated toothpaste, innovative toothbrush, and refreshing antibacterial mouthwash were designed to work together to be 15 veces más efectivos reduciendo bacterial buildup, la causa principal de los problemas orales en solo 6 semanas, starting in week 1, compared to non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and a flat-tongue toothbrush. Eso es prevention power, baby. Compra el sistema de prevención Activa Colgate Total visitando shop.colgate.com/total. Protect your oral health and be dentist ready.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.